Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Today, I want to talk to you about the Wright brothers for a while. But before that, don't forget, as always, if you go to my homepage, stephenoskew.com, you can find the script for this talk and all my other talks. You can find questions, you can find answers, you can download the MP3. If you want to subscribe, please do. If you have any ideas or topics you'd like me to talk about, please put them in the comments below here. Okay, thank you. Right, the Wright brothers. You've probably heard of them. Who were the Wright brothers? What were they famous for? Well, the Wright brothers, of course, are commonly known as the first people to fly a powered aircraft. So how did that come about? Well, the Wright brothers, Wilbur and Orville Wright, were two of seven brothers and sisters. Wilbur was born in 1867, Orville in 1871. They were pretty close together in age. Throughout their lives, Orville was generally the brains, I suppose you would say. Although they were both indispensable to each other. You couldn't have one without the other. They both went to the same school. Orville actually quit first, and he went and set up a printing business, Wright Printers. He printed commercially. He also printed a newspaper. His brother Wilbur joined him pretty quickly, and together they went on to produce this newspaper called the West Side News. They didn't produce it for very long, about 5 or 6 years. They generally made a living printing commercially. In December 1892, they gave all that up and they set up a bicycle business, the Wright Cycle Company. If you've seen my talk about the bicycle industry or bicycles, you'll know that around about this time, the safety bicycle was invented and bicycles had rubber tires and bicycle ownership was exploding, was taking off. And a lot of people were starting to make bicycles. Well, the Wright brothers got in on that. To begin with, they produced other people's bicycles, but after a while, they designed and developed their own bicycle, the Wright bicycle. So 1892, they're making a living building, selling, and repairing bicycles. However, this is their livelihood, but it's not their passion. Their passion, of course, is flying. As we talked about with cycling, a lot of people started off in the bicycle industry and learned how to make parts and how to make machinery and moved on from that into other industries, as the Wright brothers themselves do, of course. Now, at that time, flying is becoming extremely popular. Gliding, I should say. Gliding is becoming extremely popular. Gliding, of course, means sliding, sliding through the air. A glider is any plane that doesn't have an engine. At this time, people were creating all sorts of inventions, all sorts of ways of trying to fly. Somebody the Wright brothers were following was a German called Otto Lilienthal. He was quite a famous glider. He invented lots of different contraptions, and he could glide quite far. However, he died in 1896 in a gliding accident. And this was very instrumental in the Wright brothers' development because they realized at this point that control was the most important thing. You couldn't just strap an engine to a glider and hope to fly. You had to be able to control it. A lot of people were steering their gliders with their bodies. They would lean left or right to make the glider move left or right. And a lot of people, of course, I shouldn't say of course, they didn't have our knowledge. A lot of people thought that planes, gliders, would just be basically ships in the sky. You were replacing the sea with the sky, basically. So a ship, of course, goes forwards and backwards and left and right. People assumed that gliders would do the same thing. But of course, they don't. They have three axes of control. We'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, so Orville and Wilbur Wright were developing gliders. And Orville Wright, he actually looked at a bird. And he got his inspiration from a bird. If you look at birds, big birds or any kind of birds, how do they fly? Well, they flap their wings, of course. How do they turn? Well, what they do is they angle one of their wings. When you angle the wing, you create drag. You create lift on one side, drag on the other side, and you can turn. So Orville Wright looked at this and he realized the way to make a plane turn, the way to control a glider was to change the shape of the wings, to actually warp the wings. And he came up with this system using lots of wires. So you turn the control stick, the yoke, and the wires pull the wings in different angles and you can warp the wings. If you warp this wing this way, you create drag and you create lift and you turn that way. If you warp it the other way, you can turn that way. Of course, modern planes use the same idea, but not the same system. Because if you're going to warp the wings, you have to basically warp the frame of the plane. And if you're bending the frame of the plane, you're going to create weakness. And at some point, it will probably break. So modern planes use a system called ailerons. Those are just flaps. You can lower the flaps to create drag and lift and to turn yourself. Those ailerons were actually invented in England in 1868, quite a while before the Wright brothers came up with their idea. Okay, so from about 1890 up onwards, the Wright brothers create and design different kinds of gliders, and they have a lot of fun. Then from 1900, they start to become more serious. They start doing experiments at a beach called Kitty Hawk. They chose that place because a long, flat beach, because of the weather, and because of the wind, I suppose. And they start to do hundreds and hundreds of glider tests. They experiment with different shape wings, different length wings, different materials, different bodies. Basically everything you can think of, they test and they experiment. But of course they realize that to keep testing things on a beach takes a long time. You have to launch the glider, watch the glider, reset the glider, and fix the glider. So they come up with the idea of building a wind tunnel in their bicycle shop. These days, anything you want to make that travels, a car, a sports car, a bicycle, a train, anything that's going to travel through the air and is going to meet wind resistance, you basically test its wind profile, you test its profile in a wind tunnel. Well, the Wright brothers began doing that. They designed this wind tunnel and they built models and they tested hundreds and hundreds of different types of wings until they could find the wings that gave the plane the best lift and the best control. If you look at this picture, you can see over here, this was before they did all the tests, and this was after. The plane is flying much straighter, it's flying much higher, and it's much more controlled. So, thanks to their experimentation, thanks to their tests, thanks to their constant note-taking and perseverance, we basically have the planes we have today. A lot of other people were trying to create planes at the same time, of course, but they were not doing it in such fine detail as the Wright brothers were. They were basically going outside, throwing themselves off a hill and thinking, that didn't work, I should change something. But the Wright brothers took a very scientific approach to this and basically tested every single variable they could possibly think of. Okay, so that's 1900. By 1902, they've realized that the wing warping system alone doesn't control the plane enough, so they introduce a movable rudder. Because, of course, a plane is controlled on three axes. You have, ailerons, wing warping. That is the roll that basically makes the plane move that way. You have the forward elevator for pitch, that makes the plane go up and down, basically. But you also need a rear rudder, because when you use the ailerons, when you create drag and lift and you turn like this, the plane also rolls this way. So to stop that, you need a rudder to bring the plane back into line, so it turns without spinning, basically. So you have the three axes. You have roll, you have pitch, and you have yaw. Okay, so now they've got this controllable plane, they go back to Kitty Hawk and they keep trying, they keep experimenting with it as a glider. Now, towards the end of 1903, they've tested everything they can think of and they think they are ready for a powered flight. So they construct an engine. All the engines at the time were too heavy. They were made of irons and steels. So what the Wright brothers did is they commissioned an engine that was made of aluminium. That's actually the first aluminium engine ever, I believe. And because this engine was so light, they could fit it to their plane. So they now have a plane that's controllable with an engine. December 17th, 1903, Orville takes control of the plane. 10:35 a.m., it's launched from its catapult. It flies in the air for 37 meters, exactly 12 seconds, and lands. The first ever powered flight. The first ever powered flight, that is. Wrights go back to their cycle shop and they start improving on the plane. Within a year, by 1904, they can now fly the plane for 1,244 meters and they can make turns. They can do a circle. Within another year, by 1905, they can now fly their plane for 40 kilometers. So in 2 years, they've gone from 37 meters to 40,000 meters, and they can fly the plane in figures of eights, they can turn, and they can land the plane. They have a fully controllable plane that they can fly for long distances. Incidentally, only the Wright brothers could fly that plane. In 2003, for the centenary, they recreated the Wright Flyer 1, and nobody could actually fly it. It was too difficult to fly. Because the Wright brothers had spent so long learning how to fly this plane, they were the only ones that could actually fly it. Okay, so 1905, their plane can fly quite a long way. Now, the Wright brothers got into flying because they love it, because they really enjoyed it and they wanted to fly. But now they have built a plane, they start to think business. They want to sell this plane. They want to sell it to the American Army. Because they now need to sell the plane, they start to withdraw into secrecy. They start to withdraw their plane from the public eye. And so because of that, a lot of people don't actually believe the Wright brothers have been able to fly and don't believe the Wright brothers' plane is as controllable as they say it is. A lot of people, especially in France and Europe, where they're trying to build planes themselves, call the Wright brothers liars. Now, the Wright brothers don't fight this because they are improving their planes all the time, and they want to sell these planes, so they're keeping it secret. However, by 1909, the American Army agrees to buy the Wright brothers' new plane, the Model A, from them, if they can prove that it actually works, that it's as good as they say. So Orville Wright takes the plane across to France, and at an air show there, they demonstrate the plane. And people are so impressed that this plane can take off, fly figures of eights, land, and fly for so long. People are so impressed that they actually apologize. People apologize in public for calling the Wright brothers liars. And they finally admit that the Wright brothers are as amazing as they actually are. And the American Army agrees to buy this plane. They agree to buy it for $35,000, which is about $900,000 of today's money. So the Wright brothers set up their plane company, the Wright Company, to start making and selling these planes. Okay, to this point, the Wright brothers have been wonderful people. They are heroes, basically. They've gone further and longer and tried harder and persevered more than any other person, and they have constructed planes far in advance of anybody else. They have done more for aviation than anybody thus far in the history of the world, I suppose. But from here on out, they start to get more concerned with business. Wilbur Wright, especially, he is the president of the company. Orville Wright is the vice president. They realize that the only way they can make money off this invention is to sell as many as they can before other people make them. And so they patent their ideas. They patent the wing warping system. They patent all the systems they can. And then they actively sue anybody that tries to create planes. They sue so many people that a rumor goes around. Some people say that if you jump in the air and flap your arms, Wilbur Wright will sue you. And because of this litigation, because they're actively suing so many people, their public image suffers incredibly. Up to this point, they were seen as heroes, and suddenly they're seen as greedy. They're seen as money orientated. They're seen as closed. They're seen as trying to hurt the aviation industry. Their public image nosedives, basically. Because of this stress, because of this stress of suing, of trying to protect their invention, Wilbur Wright actually dies in 1912. He dies of typhoid fever, but I'm sure a huge part of it was the stress. His brother, Orville Wright, takes over the company, but he's not a manager like Wilbur is. He's the inventor, I suppose. So within a few years, he gets sick of it, and 1915, he sells the Wright Company. The Wright Company was actually bought by another company called Wright Martin, and then it was bought by another company and became the Wright Aeronautical, and then it was bought by another company called Curtiss Wright, which actually still exists. And Curtiss Wright, they make parts for aeroplanes, I believe. So the Wright Company, in effect, does still exist, but not the same way as it was. Orville Wright flies for the very last time in 1918, and after that he doesn't fly at the controls of a plane again. He becomes a statesman for the aviation industry. He tries to help wherever he can, I suppose. And the Wright Flyer 1, the plane that was the first powered plane in the world ever, is on display in the Smithsonian. So the Wright brothers did more for aviation in that period than anybody else in history. Then they became understandably concerned with their invention. They tried to profit off it. You can't really blame them for that. Although because of their litigation, because of this activity, when World War I started, the American army was actually far behind the German army in terms of aviation. And it took them a while to catch up. They did catch up, and of course they exceeded any other country in the end. But in the beginning, because of the Wright brothers, aviation was actually put back. Something that I find absolutely amazing about all this, probably the most amazing thing about all this, is 1783, the Montgolfier brothers in France built the first hot air balloon, really, the first controllable hot air balloon. 1903, 130 years later, the Wright brothers built the first powered plane. 1969, 63 years after that, Neil Armstrong, of course, walks on the moon. So in 200 years, we've gone from not being able to fly to walking on the moon. And these inventions are speeding up, as technology always does. Things get faster and faster and faster. So in the next 30 years, in the next 50 years, what are we going to have? What is the next advancement in the aeronautical industry? It's very, very exciting. Very, very exciting. Maybe I won't see it, but my children certainly will. The world they will live in is going to be amazing. I can only imagine. Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you understood that. It was a little bit complicated. If you like this, like it, share it. If you want to subscribe, that button's over here somewhere. If you have any idea for talks, please put them in the comments below. Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye.